Hello and welcome to GuardCast, a podcast that offers insight to soldiers and civilians from subject matter experts across the board.
I'm your host, Second Lieutenant Joseph Goldsmith,
and thank you for tuning in. Thank you all for joining us today. On GuardCast, we have Major Brian Fletcher. A little bit of background. He joined the South Carolina State Guard in October of 2015 at the height of the 1,000-year flood disaster response. Commissioned as a first lieutenant at that time, and he has served in various roles at Brigade Headquarters. He currently serves as the future planning and civil affairs officer for the 1st Civil Support Brigade. Professionally, Major Fletcher is a registered nurse with ICU, trauma, and ER experience. He has worked in emergency management, is a certified disaster exercise planner, and is a master military emergency management specialist. So this episode, we're going to discuss more of the administrative side of the State Guard, and we are fortunate to have the future planning and civil affairs officer with us to explain standard operating procedure for development of training exercises throughout the state, as well as interfacing with the public and various organizations. So, Major Fletcher, thank you so much for joining us today. The admin side of the military, if anybody that's listening has ever been involved in admin, you know that things either go at like warp speed or a snail. And it can be great, it can be infuriating, and everything in between. So I really appreciate the fact that you're coming on today with us to shed some light on this side of the world for us, and especially at brigade level, because we've had a lot of people on the show that talk about the battalion level. But now, you know, for those of you that don't, so you have, you know, division, and then you have brigades, and then each brigade is separated into battalions, and then they continue to get smaller. And there's a previous episode that talks about organizational structure. So we are now above battalion, and we're at the brigade level. So in South Carolina, there are three battalions, one on the coast, one kind of in the center, and then one out on the mountainside of the state. And then brigade handles all of that. So Major Fletcher, he is at brigade level. So again, thank you, sir, for being on this morning. And first point, what is involved with developing a new training exercise for battalions within the state?
Well, first, thank you very much for having me on the podcast, and welcome everybody. So developing a new training exercise, or even developing new training in general for the battalions, requires a lot of interfacing with other segments of the military departments, such as the planning, operations, and training unit. But it goes back to looking at where you are currently and where you want to be in the future. And that doctrine comes down through our commanding general officer. It also comes down from the adjutant general's office that says, we need your organization, the State Defense Force, the State Guard, to develop this training. We're looking ahead at some potential things that we could encounter in the future. So with that, we look at currently where we are, what are the resources we have, and what resources do we need, and then what actual training needs to be done with the personnel who are going to interface with whatever the circumstance is, whatever the new shiny object happens to be, if you will. Yeah. So there's a lot of interfacing that goes on, and at my level, I have to work and interface with a lot of different people at the battalion levels, with the battalion command, the company levels, the individuals even that are assigned to the task. But then, you know, I may have to bring in outside resources to either one, assist with the training, or that we can exercise with, plan with, and have a good relationship with, so that when the chips are down and we are out in the field in the real world, if you will, wartime event, such as a disaster, we know each other, we've trained together, and we understand how we are going to operate. So that is, you know, part of my role as the future planning officer for South Carolina State Guard Brigade Headquarters. The other role that I play is to look at, you know, where we are at the battalion levels, and to see if there are opportunities for advancing the training, or opportunities for advancing new skill sets to respond to a disaster event. And in South Carolina, we have, like any other state, we have many different types of events that, you know, we may have to respond to, which, you know, most people think of South Carolina as being hurricane prone, which we are.
Yeah.
They think about us as having a lot of severe weather, which we do. But what a lot of people don't realize is that we're a very seismic, active state. But you know, the largest earthquake east of the Mississippi River occurred here in 1886. So we, you know, there are skill sets that if those events occur, that we need to have practiced and are trained and ready for and can respond to. Prime example with hurricanes. Certainly you have a lot of infrastructure damage, and just getting that infrastructure back up means a lot of debris clearing just to get to it, to get to the power transformer stations or the water plants or whatnot. So we recently developed a new skill set for the South Carolina State Guard for debris clearing. And we're underway now training personnel across the battalions to be able to fulfill that role using, you know, chainsaw equipment, learning about how to do debris clearing, how to interface with the local authority having jurisdiction, and then putting all of that together and being ready to respond. So that is, you know, part of my role is putting together those, looking at those opportunities and putting together future proposals and plans for those kinds of responses.
So when you're looking at planning an FTX, a field training exercise, and let's talk about chainsaws, since that's, you know, just what came
up. Sure.
So you have the best laid plans are out there and everything is good to go. And now it is being implemented. The battalions have been contacted and all the companies are squared away. And can you explain how does that process work? Who is in charge of that? Are company commanders in charge? Is brigade in charge? What is the team that would handle that FTX?
So excellent question. And one of the things that we have put together in recent times is what we call the Advanced Disaster Area Response Team, or Advanced Disaster Area Resource Team, depending upon what we're doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. But what we've tasked those folks to do is be the trainers for some of the skill sets that we need to enhance within the battalions. So I will develop a future training exercise in the field based on our mission essential task list and assessments that have been done to find out where we are. And then I will look at testing the capabilities versus just showing the capability. And when I being a master exercise planner, my exercises are very challenging. And anybody who's been in those exercises will tell you it was worth the time, the effort, but golly, how many more challenges can we get? But the way I look at it from my perspective is I would rather you meet those challenges now in a training exercise than to be in the field and meet those challenges and never have had any kind of idea of what challenges you might encounter while you're out there.
Absolutely. And one thing that was beat into us, you know, when we first came in is everything about span of control. You know, you have to be in control of, and it just slipped my mind. What is it? Like everything within 3 feet of your surrounding, it's like yourself and then like 3 feet. And then it's six, you know, you think of it as like rings, you know, your bubble. And then sure. If I'm good, then whatever is right here is good. And then whatever is right here, you know, is if I can handle me, then I can handle this. Then I can assess and maybe handle this, et cetera. And so that's what these FTXs, you know, is giving you those training opportunities to practice thus.
Absolutely. So yes, first of all, in emergency management, emergency response and disaster response, everything starts local. Mm-hmm. And so to your point, everything is local and that's you. That is you. You're the local focal point. And then everything around that is supporting or safety nets or whatever. So we train to that very specifically bring that to light. And that span of control, depending upon how large or small the event is, that will expand or contract. And so we in these field training exercises, I challenge every single soldier who is participating with a variety of scenarios that can occur to them. And going back to the latest thing we're doing with debris clearing, chainsaws. Mm-hmm. How do you're working chainsaw, brand spanking new, whatever, and you expect that to be, you know, ready to go out of the box. You find out, you take it out of the box. It's not, you got to assemble it. Mm-hmm. And then you're working with it and things start happening with it. And you need to be able to continue the mission. You need to be able to, you know and understand the various parts of that chainsaw and even make repairs in the field and have the tools and the knowledge to be able to do that so you can continue the mission. But it's not just chainsaws. So one of our missions here that we've recently started training for under our ESF 17 agriculture and animals group. Our state guard is tasked with rounding up loose, large animals. And so to show you how all this has been put together, we needed training on that. There's a lot of folks who have never been around horses or been around cattle, you know, domesticated type animals that may get loose after an earthquake, a hurricane, whatever. So we're tasked with helping ESF 17 round those up and get them to a large animal shelter, which we have three of in the state of South Carolina. So I partnered up with, and we'll talk some more about partnering, but I partnered up with our Clemson University Extension Service and livestock and poultry health folks to come down and give us training on how to approach these animals, knowing that some may be injured and so on and so forth. So we got a lot of good hands-on field training from those folks. But then we also partnered up with, we needed the livestock. So we partnered with, various agencies, including the City of Charleston Mounted Patrol. They brought their draft horses in, and if you've ever stood by the side of a draft horse, that will scare will really scare you to death if you've never worked around horses. But those folks and then other local equestrian folks in our area to assist us with that. So we were able to do that training, and we continue to do that training across the battalions so that we have a large force multiplier if necessary to respond to that particular task.
And I've had people in the past say, like, well, I know how to operate a chainsaw. I grew up on farms. I grew up riding horses. And that's great. And my response, and I've literally had new, you know, potential, you know, new recruits, et cetera, say that to me. And I said, great, me too. But if my toilet breaks and I don't know how to fix it and I need to hire a plumber, do I want to see somebody come in front of my house and they don't have their business certification, you know, or their business license? They don't have licensed and bonded on the side of their truck. You know, I want to see their credentials. So by doing, you know, going to these FTXs and getting all this training, we are then certified by the state of South Carolina military department to go and do thus. Because again, if we're on a deployment and something happens and that checkbox isn't there, we cannot partake. Because again, everybody needs to make sure that they are protected. And the guard, the state guard can say, no, these individuals are qualified to handle this situation. And if you are not qualified, you cannot go handle that situation, you know. And for a lot of people that maybe are new recruits, maybe are considering it, like one of the first things out of the box that you're going to have to do is get your MEMS certification, your military emergency management specialist. And that's conversation for another time. But until you get certain types of qualifications, you cannot go do that thing. And it's again, it's all about making sure that you understand how to handle, you know, how to assess and how to handle and then move forward in that situation. And if you don't have it, then it's all a safety thing. You have to be qualified to do it. And also too, really quick, acronyms are vast within the military. So you will hear it referred to as ADART. And then when you talk about like your mission's essential task list, that you'll hear that referred to as MEDL. Okay. I mean, I remember the first time I heard that, you know, I was a young buck and I went MEDL, like, and I'm looking around for like, is there a piece of MEDL or something? No, I didn't know any better. You know, I was a kid. But yeah, it's learn your acronym. So you will hear people use acronyms all day long, you know, and you'll pick up on it. It's going to take a minute, but you'll get it. The more you hear it, all those little light bulbs will turn on for you. So, and you briefly touched on it for a second, sir. How does the civil military affairs officer, which is one of your hats, and future planning, another one of your hats, how do those go hand in hand? Like I said, we touched on it a little bit, but can you expand on that?
Yes, it's about building relationships outside of the organization and within the organization. So we have several detachments within the South Carolina State Guard, such as our engineers, such as our SARCOM, Search and Rescue Command, Medical Detachment. We have Provost Marshal Detachment. So just building the relationship within the organization and having great working relationships with those folks, so that when everybody arrives on site, everybody knows each other, everybody understands their roles and what their responsibilities are. Now, in the military, we don't always get to do that ahead of things, but but it's always good to be able to if you can. You know, in the military, you get assigned, go here, do this, and you have no idea who else you're interfacing with, or go there, meet the ADART team from 1st mm-hmm. Battalion or whatever, and what's ADART? I have no clue. You know,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's building those relationships and understanding what each person's role is and what their lane mm-hmm. is, so that you don't get a lot of chaos and confusion out on site during an actual disaster response.
Exactly. Yeah, and I look at it. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please.
I look at it kind of this way from a civilian perspective. In my business, I have to interface and network a lot or else I don't have a business. So if you're the type of person, if you're watching this and you're the type of person where maybe you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce in your municipality, if you enjoy putting yourself around new people for the sake of whether it's just, you know, personal or professional business building, you know, this type of admin side of the military might be a really good fit for you, because a lot of people, they don't like being put in those types of situations. They find it extremely stressful. You know, maybe they can't find the right words. But Major Fletcher was just talking about, if you're under a unified command, when you have multiple entities under the same roof, so to speak, due to a disaster response, there needs to be that go-getter that knows, at least, you know, from identifiers, you know, on your person, who to go talk to. Or maybe you approach, you know, random person X. They could be in FEMA, the Red Cross, just another company in the battalion, but you can go and you can be approachable, and you can go up and approach them and say, here's who I am. What do I need to do X, or who should I be speaking to? If you're comfortable doing that, this might be a good opportunity for you in service, you know, because every company needs that type of voice. At the company level, we call them a UPAR. So that's a unit public affairs representative. They're not public affairs. They're not a civil military affair officer or NCO or anything like that. It's kind of one of those in the moment, that's the hat that they wear. If, you know, at the battalion level, if I have a directive that I've just initiated or something that maybe came down from Major Fletcher to me that I then need to send down, it's just one of those, you know, a quick email sent over, because I know that individual at the company level is responsible for X. You know, that way I'm not bothering the CEO, I'm not bothering the XO, because they've got 1,000 things on their plate. So, you know, if you like that type of role, but maybe you want to just get your toes wet first and not dive all the way, that might be a good opportunity for you. And every company needs them. And it's responsibility for sure. It's not a ton, but it is. And then you just slowly work your way up. And eventually one day you get to be Major Fletcher, you know, where you're running the show, you know, for the entire, you know, training ops and CMAO, you know, at the brigade level. And then you're interfacing directly with division in Columbia, you know, getting it from top. So like I said, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that just kind of popped in my head thinking about with the networking thing and, you know, Chamber of Commerce and whatnot. Cause I remember how much I enjoyed doing that, going to the mixers and the B2Bs and all that stuff. And I always had a really good time. And I look at that with us, you know, for the EMD meetings, the emergency management division meetings. So every region in a state will have, you know, where Red Cross, FEMA, the state emergency managers will all get together. Well, we go there too. For, you know, in region 4, I handle region 4 in South Carolina, and I'm about to put a new recruit down in the Charleston region. Was able to schmoozy her into getting that one in there, which is great, because that means I don't have to drive, you know, like 4 hours to get there. It's those little baby steps, and I enjoy being in those types of environments. So I'm rambling on that one, but if you get excited like I do over that type of thing, this type of role might be a really good fit for you. Now, you wouldn't have to go that far, but there still might be moments where you are put in those types of situations.
Sure. So, again, it's about building relationships, and we're always looking for talented people who may already be connected within the community, who can bring resources to the State Guard, or the State Guard can bring resources to the community that have been unexplored. So we're always looking for talent like that. Again, as you mentioned, by professional trade, I'm a registered nurse. It's not something that I sought out in the medical detachment. I wanted to do something different, but I had skill sets in management and relationship building within my professional role to be able to set me out and set me up for success in this role. Mm-hmm. And again, meeting with local community organizers or meeting with state or municipal agencies and building those relationships to say, this is what your State Defense Force, State Guard is all about. And here's what we offer. And maybe we can collaborate either on training or in response, planning, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but we're always looking for administrative talent within, you know, even at the battalion level. Right. So I would encourage anybody who's one, never served or has served, mm-hmm. who has a desire to still serve and give back to your state, certainly to consider joining your local State Defense Force or South Carolina State Guard in particular, mm-hmm. here. Contact a recruiter. It's, you know, we do a really good job because we train hard and we enjoy it, and we give back to our state, our citizens, and we're your neighbors. Yes. We're your family. We're part of all of that. So I would strongly recommend you consider moving into administrative roles. Maybe that's not for you, and that's okay. Right. You can certainly be a doer, being out there running a chainsaw or round up horses or putting up Western shelters or doing points of distribution. I mean, there's a lot of different tasks that we do. These are just some of them. But if that's not what you want to do, we could certainly use you in administrative roles.
Absolutely. And if your state does not have a State Defense Force, State Guard, and I know we've said that they are the same things, just some states call them, you know, sure, different things. Look at your neighbor's state. You know, a lot of State Guards and State Defense Forces will accept out of state. I mean, that's on you to travel there. But I mean, we've had people come from North Carolina. I feel like I heard somebody from maybe Tennessee or Kentucky or something, you know, drove to South Carolina. I mean, we've got a new recruit right now coming in from North Carolina that's driving into Myrtle Beach to be in that company. And because they want to serve. I mean, they're driving like an hour and a half just to get there. And don't let your location potentially hinder you. You know, if a neighboring state has one and yours doesn't, contact them. And sure. I would be surprised if they said no. You know, and if you live in Florida, look into it, because you guys, Florida's killing it right now. They're really getting themselves organized. The Florida State Guard, I've loved watching them get reorganized, and the governor bring them back to life.
Sure.
All right, sir. Well, Major, I appreciate you being on today. It's been very informative. I really enjoy talking about, you know, the admin side, because that is a lot of what I do. It's like everything that you do. But then, you know, we also get to get our hands dirty. You know, yeah, you know, like you get to plan these FTXs, but then you also get to go take part in it too. Sure. If you have any questions, for those of you that are watching and listening, if you have any questions, send some comments below. Or contact a recruiter in your area, and we'll definitely get back to you. If you haven't done so already, please make sure that you like, share, and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you in the next episode. This is Second Lieutenant Joseph Goldsmith, out.